We talked about yesterday, we're on, I think we're on verse 28 of Luke 6. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. During the course of the discussion, we got into this whole idea of what prophesying is, and whether or not it's right for us to have a governor. By definition, the governor that we want to have, or that God has provided for us, if you believe what I think, and that is the two witnesses of prophecy and wisdom. But if you try to be the governor, then there's no humility. I had I didn't sleep last. I think I maybe slept 10 minutes, but I had one of those vision things. And I was sitting out on the front porch, and I was reading my email before I went out there. And I read the email from Joysana about Passover, which I hadn't read before. And I opened it up, and it said, on the subject, it said, revised Passover menu. And for some reason, that just made me nuts, because I hadn't seen any revisions. And I totally got slapped upside the head 6 ways from Sunday, because you know, I've had a proprietary interest in the feasts, because it took me so many years and so much digging to get all that information out. And so my momentary feeling of whatever it was, lack of pride or something, hurt, was based on nothing, because I fully trust John and Joysana. I mean, there's nothing about them putting out a feast memo that I wouldn't trust. Then why would I be upset about revising it without me knowing it? And it really, really cemented what we talked about yesterday, about there can be no awareness of self. The awareness of self is the fundamental sin. And that's why we are called smoke. We are called withering grass, fading grass and withering flowers, or whatever it is. Because everything about us is going into the bride, into nothing that we have no awareness of. And the moment we have an awareness of self, whether it's for good or for evil, however we define that, like cell phones. Then in that awareness of self, by definition, we have left the bride. Because in the bride, we have no awareness of self. Now, if this can be apprehended by you, if you can be apprehended by it, you will find a freedom that you never even imagined possible. Now, if all you've done is you've heard of him by the hearing of your ear, then that's impossible, because you don't yet know that Jesus Christ is in you, that he is your only self. And the only thing that can happen then is the plagues haven't done their job yet. So there's more plagues coming. But to the bride, there's no plague. The bride is only aware of just, it's all about humility. You know, look, the Father pours himself into the Son, and in him is the fullness of the Father. The Holy Spirit pours himself into us to reveal the Son, and only the Son. And we pour ourselves into the bride, and only the bride. Now, this isn't taught. Somehow, we have kept on. I think that we've been pretty faithful about teaching the cross and your death, but it still wasn't enough. We must lose the awareness of self in all areas. And that's the mystery of the cross. What?
Well, I'm thinking about, to use the word, the process. It takes, there was something lurking in you that was unknown, unseen. You didn't know it was there. And yet it took something, a series of movements by, in this case, Joyce Anna, to trigger the knowledge of that you, so that you can repent.
All it did was reveal my own rebellion.
Exactly.
But there's no, you can never sanctify rebellion. So there's never a process.
I'm not sanctifying it, but I'm talking about exposing it.
Again.
What it takes, and that's the interaction of the body is where I'm going with this.
Right.
Without that, not worrying about whether you offend somebody, because the offense often leads to the exposure. And you were offended by the fact that they did this, blah, 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 and that offense led to your revelation.
But it was a meaningless offense. I mean, it was just there for some stupid reason. It had no purpose, no value. It was without anything spiritual. It was idiotic.
And yet it made you unclean.
Yes, and so I had to repent instantly. Right. And in their repentance, I saw each of us as smoke. Well, we will.
Air. Smoke. Nothing.
Dip me. Dip me.
Let's look at some scriptures. Let's start in Isaiah 40. But I want you, for a moment, forgive this, but I want you to think about what has gone on in your recent memory. And think about how all of that that took you or put you in a position of weight, it all had to do with an awareness of self. It doesn't matter what it is. But that's what the test is. That's why time and space is here, so that we can get rid of all awarenesses of self. So you can say, What John says about the fathers, it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sin is forgiven. You're still in the world. I write unto you, teenagers, young adults, because you know the Father. That's the only thing that helps. Some other fathers there. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong and you've overcome the evil one. And I write unto you, fathers, because you've been with him that is from the beginning. And if that doesn't produce repentance, then nothing will. If you don't see that you, every evil aspect in the history of the world, you were part of and are part of. The only answer is abandonment of self. So any self-awareness must be instant. With revenge, repented of. You're doing it again.
Yeah, the very words themselves, self-awareness.
That's the fruit of the fall.
Yeah, and you have to have the awareness of self. And that's the.
All right. Let's go to Isaiah 40. Comfort ye my people. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Now, the only Jerusalem they're talking about here is the New Jerusalem, and that is our permanent home, our place of residence. And cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Now, that's not talking about going out with bulldozers. It's talking about removing this crap from your mind. Amen?
Yeah. calf that's talking about the lamb that hasn't happened yet.
Well, it won't happen. That's a metaphor. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Hallelujah. And all flesh has seen it already on Pentecost. The gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven, unless you don't believe the scriptures. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the grass of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Now, that's all happening internally, if you allow him to be your life, your only self. Amen? Okay, let's go to 1 Peter.
Thinking in that context that without brokenness, without humility, without suffering, you don't allow. You still have strength within you, and you think you can make it work.
Oh, you can. You just have to be a hypocrite. Let's start in verse 13. Well, let's start. No, let's.
Where did we go, Ollie?
We have to start in verse 3. I'm sorry. Doesn't make sense. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. That means born again. Unto an alive hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And unless he is resurrected in you, you know nothing of that hope. You're still trying to do your thing. You still have issues. You still have problems. Amen? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Or for us. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations or tests. That the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, it's only, faith is a dime a dozen. It's cheap. But it's the trial of your faith that's more precious than gold. But only if you abide in the trial, if you wait only on him, rather leaning on your own arm. No matter what the situation is, wait, wait, only on him. What, you're doing it? What, you're, this is troubling you.
No, I'm just right on that edge of, the only one who waits is Christ, I don't.
Then you don't understand being transfigured by the renewing of your mind. They have to become one.
Yeah.
There is no more two. It's like there's, if your eye be single, your whole body is full of light. If your eye be double, because there's two, even the light that is in you in darkness is darkness. And how great is that darkness? There's no escape from this. Be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind, so that your mind is the mind of Christ. And that's always emptied. There's no in between. You got it?
Good words.
You're not going to argue with me?
No, I'm going to let that one work.
But the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold, that perisheth though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the revelation or appearing of Jesus Christ. Now this is what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about. That we on that Feast of First Fruit would be apprehended by the revelation of Christ. So we have no more false hope, no more Jebusites in the land. No more hoping this or that's going to happen. All of our hope is centered only in his resurrection, but that has to be in you. And you have to see it. All flesh has already seen it. Your eyes haven't seen it. What? Amen? Whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. And sober doesn't mean don't be drunk. Sober is a word that means think correctly. And the only thinking correctly is emptiness. Amen? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. And again, the word lust just means you want anything to be different than it is. Do you really understand that? It's because sometimes it slips by me. You want nothing to be different than it is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
That's where your freedom is. What you started this out with.
All right.
You know, it seems like one of the keys to seeing that correctly, something John told me one time about identity. That's what I was remembering earlier when I said an identity crisis. It's not that there are problems and conflicts and tsunamis, it's just that they're his. There's no us.
But to the bride, they're not even issues. It's your attempt to keep an independent identity.
Our identity is who we are.
That's your golem.
Through him or of him versus what we do.
All right. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. The Rhema of the Lord endureth forever. That's the word having been made flesh in you. So that there is no separation. You don't see two anymore. And this is the word, logos, which by the gospel is preached unto you. All flesh is grass. Paul, Jesus Christ after the flesh. Your mind, your brain, just think about this identity. You're not your own. You're a part of a new creation whose glory is and beauty is not being revealed until the marriage supper. That's what we say. And on the intervening Sabbath, remember, we read the Song of Solomon. That beautiful, beautiful thing is about this mystery. It's about the mystery of humility. There's no longer, you've got to start believing totally in the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, not in the unholy quartet. It's not Father, Son, Holy Spirit in you. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit preparing the bride, which will be revealed at the last day. But as long as you think there are four, then you've made the quartet unholy because you have got something other than salt in a salt shaker. Well, that's a good pre-Passover present. Yeah. Anybody have any response to all this? No identity. No, you've been bought with a price. You give no breath. Think about it this way. From this instant, no past. And from this instant, no future. It's only now, the eternal now.
Verse 21 pricked my ear. Says it raised him from the dead. Doesn't say anything about raising me from the dead.
But location of sphere, where did he raise him from the dead? It has no meaning. Remember, hereby know you the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And all your voices are the spirits. You're something not corporal. Every voice that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, but is of that Antichrist. And again, if you say you confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and it has to be in you, the Antichrist confesses he did come and that he will come. But it's only the Spirit of God that can say he confess he is come right now in your flesh, that he is your eternal self. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal self, live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me, be thou made flesh in me. I have no life, I have no self but thee, I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. And there's no duality anymore. No double-mindedness, no seeing two. That's the meaning of the real meaning and how it affects your walk of Passover. You will see yourself dead with him, in him, and then you will see yourself resurrected in him, or him resurrected in you on the Feast of First Fruits. And they're all 1, 2, 3. What, Christopher, what's going on? I'm not going to call you Chiz any longer. I don't like your golem.
No, I was just thinking how much the Holy Trinity needs our help, right?
Yeah.
The Trinity really needs us, really needs our help.
It needs you to be, it needs your help only in terms of being an empty vessel. Remember, this is all revealed in the first, let us make man in our own image and our likeness. Image is the container, the selim. Likeness is exactly and of the same nature. That's, well, the man was in the image, and you've been in the image. But now it's time to be in the likeness. Cut all this crazy crap out. No, you'll be dead, and there's only one.
No partner.
There's no partnership.
But even when you say that,
close to death.
Close to death.
Not for everybody.
Close to death than everybody else.
That reminds me of the Monty Python. No quite dead yet.
But I won't bet.
What does that mean?
We can't explain it.
Never mind. I wouldn't understand it anyway.
The radio audience will know.
Take it, big guy, quickly.